For several weeks now, we've been talking about family matters because we believe that the family matters. And today, the theme of the message is intentional time together. I chose as a passage of Scripture the familiar 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Will you look at that with me, please? Let's read it aloud together as it's given in the NIV. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything as plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep sore of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel. Take pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. When we learn how to practice that kind of love in the family, we have something wonderful. But it's not easy to do that, is it? It's not easy to put others ahead of yourself. We all grow up wanting to be me first, and we all want the attention. We all want others to defer to us. And we have to grow out of that. And being in a family helps. I'm convinced that God invented the institution of marriage so that men could discover their need of God. Those of you who didn't laugh, you must not have caught the impact of that statement. It was in marriage that I discovered more than I ever dreamed that I had to know. I grew up in the home of a man, as my brother Seth did, who worked from daylight till dark. I inherited his work ethic, and I put that to work in my marriage and in my family after we started having children together. And I discovered that it wouldn't work too well to work from daylight till dark and not take time for things that families can do together is a big mistake, and I had to learn that the hard way. I want to tell you how I learned it. Dean found a 6-foot piece of 2x4 and planted it between my eyes several times. That's how I discovered some of the things that I didn't know about how to live as a family. I discovered, when that 2x4 would hit me between the eyes, that you spell love T-I-M-E, time, together. And I discovered so many things as a result of that 2x4 between the eyes that I never dreamed I needed to know, never dreamed that I had any possibility of knowing. For example, I saw my mother as the person who took care of the cooking and the house cleaning and taking care of the kids while my daddy worked. That didn't work for Dean and Walter. That didn't work. There needed to be a different plan from that. I've entered into marriage with Dean thinking that she was going to be the one who would take care of the house, and that I was going to be the big star who would go out and be the popular preacher and have people saying, oh, what a good boy you are. And she would be taking care of everything at home. I had no idea that she was going to become a marvelous teacher of the Bible. Had no idea. That completely surprised me. But God has continued to surprise me. And I am delighted in the surprises that have come, because I've discovered that God had a marvelous plan for her life and that I needed to be a part of encouraging that plan to be fulfilled. I remember that one day Dean said to me, are you going to take any time off? I said, honey, I'm busy. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. You know my schedule. And I explained it to her. Well, she didn't like that. And she started talking about a word called P-I-C-N-I-C. Picnic. I didn't know much about that word. I remember that once or twice when we were growing up, Seth, Mom and Daddy took us out to Oak Park in Montgomery and we had a picnic, but it didn't happen very often. But Dean seemed to think that love meant picnic. Take time for a picnic. And so one day I came home and I said, honey, I'm going to be off today. Let's get some sandwiches together and have a picnic. Well, she fainted. And I quickly found a cold rag and wiped her forehead and woke her up. And we went and had a picnic. And while we were picnicking, she said, let's talk. I said, what do you want to talk about? She said, nothing. I couldn't quite figure that one out. It took me several years to figure that one out. Finally, I discovered that a picnic gives you time to just relax and be a part of each other's lives and invest in each other some affection and tenderness and kindness and encouragement that causes each other to flower and become what God intended for them to become. What a glorious revelation that was for me. And I discovered that this scripture from the Message, if you talk about love and you pretend to love, but you don't practice it by having a picnic every now and then, practice it by spelling love, T-I-M-E, then it amounts to nothing. And what I was doing, I was good at talking about love, but I wasn't any good at practicing it. But thanks be to God, she helped me to learn to practice it. And we learned together. Two or three things that taking time to be with each other, we learned this. We learned that God wants to help us to bond together so that we can find the willpower to carry on when hard times come. That there needs to be a bonding. And the bonding can't take place unless you take the time to allow it to happen. And we don't have all the time we think we might have. You know, sometimes I do heavy reading. I've done some heavy reading this week. I read Louis Grizzard's book, My Daddy Was a Pistol and I'm a Son of a Gun. Good reading, good reading. In that book, Louis Grizzard says, I had my daddy for such a short time. We had very little time together, he said. He went off to the war, came back, and was soon gone again, and never came back on a full-time basis. He said, I've got his bronze star and his purple hearts. They're hanging on my wall. I've got his packet of war records. I've got that. I've got the flag that was draped over his casket, Grizzard said. But what I don't have is him. And he said this, and we can't make any memories anymore because we don't have any more time together. I want somebody here today to think about that. Think about the fact that we're never sure about what time remains. And it's so important that we use the time we have. Paul talks about take advantage of the opportunity you have. Use the time wisely and well. And we need to do that because we're never quite sure how much time remains. We learned that trying to spell love, T-I-M-E, meant getting a tent. And I want you to know, my idea of a camping trip is to stay at the Holiday Inn. But when the boys were young, I was overwhelmed and outnumbered, and we got a tent. I never could figure out how to put the tent up. That thing fell every time we went somewhere. And then we'd try to make coffee out in the, you know, on sand. I mean, that's just not a good place to try to make coffee and to fix some eggs and bacon. You wind up with sand in the eggs and leaves in the coffee, and it just wasn't a good experience. But we went out there and we did some of that, and we made some memories. We made some memories by going to the backwater of Minnesota. That was one of the best things we ever did. Somebody else suggested it. Our friends Al and Shirley said, come up to Minnesota and we'll go to the backwater and we'll stay a week. And so we did. And we went out there and had a beautiful time. Al knew how to put up a tent. And we had a tent. And we fished. And Dean caught a fish that was at least that long. It weighed probably 8 or 10 pounds then, but over the years it has grown to about 30 pounds. A huge fish. It was a northern pike, and I didn't catch anything. But she caught that big fish. And those were memories that we enjoyed together, and we created those together as a family. Our family now can look back and remember some delightful times that we had together. In his book, Disappointment with God, Philip Yancey talks about going to see his mother one day. His father died during the month of his first birthday, so he hardly knew his father, had no memory of him as a person. He was a stranger to him. But he went to see his mother one day and spent some time with her, T-I-M-E, going through a box of photographs. And while they were looking at these photographs, he came across one that was tattered and bent of him when he was just 8 months old. And he said, Mama, why have you saved this picture? You've got so many others that look better than this one. And she said, well, son, when your daddy was in that lung machine, he had polio when he was 24 years old and became paralyzed and was kept in this cylinder, could not even move his head. But he asked her, would you bring a picture of the boys and yourself? And she said, I put that picture up between some knobs on that cylinder so that your daddy could look at it during the last 4 months that he lived. And Philip Yancey said, I realized then how much God loved me, because he'd given me a father who loved me when he couldn't even move his head. He wanted to be looking in my face and looking in the face of my brother and of my mother during his last days. Well, I share that story with you today because it seems to me that we need to be careful not to think that we're going to live forever, that we've just got so much time. We'll take some time down the road to do this or to do that. But this is the time to make memories. This is the time to spend some quality time together, sharing and thinking about what really God wants of us as husband and wife, as a family, as parents who are raising children. I don't know how it'll be with you, but I believe that if I'm willing to take some time to invest in those people that I love because they're people that God has given me and my family, that I'm going to be able to make a big difference in their lives, and it'll come back to me as an investment that has made interest for my eternal soul. Would you think this morning about how you're living your life? Would you think this morning about how you are spelling love? Do you spell it time? Do you take the time to be together? Sometimes Dean and I are together now, and we were together Thursday for about 10 hours. Got up early and went to breakfast, and when we did this and did that, and all of a sudden it was late afternoon. I looked at her and I said, "Honey, I imagine you're tired of me. We don't spend a lot of time together like this." But she said, "No, I'm not tired of you." And I don't think she understood quite what a difference that made to me, for her to say, "No, I'm not tired of you. I like being with you." One of the sweetest things that you can ever say to somebody else is, "I love being with you." "With" is one of the most magnificent words in the English language. The Bible says Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And I need to be with my wife. And with her in the sense that I'm listening to her heartbeat. I'm listening to the things that matter to her. I'm listening to her dreams and listening to her desires and being willing to invest something of myself in her. Are you willing to take stock of where you are today? And maybe take a new look at the opportunity you have to invest affection and tenderness and kindness and your very presence in the lives of those you hold the dearest. Everybody's got a family. It may not be but one person or two. All of us have families. And when we spend intentional time together, that family becomes what God wanted it to be, through His love, His mercy, His grace. Would you join me in prayer, please? Loving Father, I realize today that some of the wisest things I've ever done was to get on my knees and ask You to forgive me for the mistakes I'd made with my children and with my wife. I realize today that that was a life-changing moment for me. To get on my knees and say, "Lord, forgive me and give me the grace with Your forgiveness to do better than I've ever done before. And somehow to make a difference, a lasting difference, in the lives of those that I love the most." Lord, sit by every person here today. Put Your arms around us. Help us to see what You want us to see as we think about spending time together. Help us, Lord, to have a beautiful new insight about what we can do to redeem the time, to make the most of the time, to take opportunity of the time we have in this world to be together, to be with the people You've given us to love, and to make an eternal difference in their lives. Lord, I pray that today there'll be a lot of us praying for Your help and a lot of us realizing that it's not over, because You're a forgiving and gracious God and You're willing to meet us at our point of need. You're willing to meet us in our weakness and let Your power be revealed in our weakness. and raise us up to live a different quality of life, that those around us might be blessed by the way we live, by the way we spend our time, by the way we love you, by loving others. Lord, touch each of our families. Touch each of us, that we might see what you're saying to us today and be blessed and benefit by it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.